Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you all and sharing the word together with you this morning. When I got here, we were a little early this morning and thought to myself, you folks really get, well, those who were left, you get high marks for all the greetings going on. I saw everybody hugging everybody in the whole place. And that's a good sign, right? It's a very good sign. So this morning we're going to look in the Word of God together at a subject that may seem very basic, but sometime we need to go over the basics. My wife and I have the privilege to be involved in a midweek Bible study in a home, and this year, they've decided to take up the book of Acts. That's an exciting part of the Word to study. And I've been doing some study in it. And the other day, as I was preparing, the thought occurred to me, I wonder how many people that come to this study know why we're doing this. And so I thought about that and prayed about that a little bit. And the Lord put on my heart that there's probably a lot of people in churches today and in Bible studies that feel like this is something that we do to be on good terms with God. You know, like the old guy said, when I go by the church, I stop and pay a visit. So when they carry me in, the Lord won't say, "Who is it?" And that's really kind of too bad, right? But what would you replace that thought with? So I'd like to ask your cooperation to think with me for a few minutes this morning about why we do what we do. Now, it's pretty clear that we pray because we have needs. And it's pretty clear that we study the Bible because we want to know truth and information. And so we could give some pretty good answers to those things. But I'd like to think a little deeper with you and ask you to be honest with yourself. Now, fortunately, we don't have any shows of hands or altar calls or stand up if you don't do this or you do this, so you just relax and that's not going to happen. But be honest in your own heart with what we're going to look at and just see where you might fall in this. Now, I'm assuming that I'm speaking to born-again Christians, right? So if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, this isn't going to make a lot of sense to you. But that's a simple matter of opening your heart to Him and just saying yes to Him as your Savior. But I want to ask you to turn to some verses with me that are quite basic, quite simple. And normally I would just say, you know this verse, so I'll just repeat it. But I want your eyes to actually look at it this morning. There's four verses. And perhaps if we get done in good time or get through these four verses, then I'll share the little list of things that I came here to share with you from the book of Acts. But we may not get there, and that's all right. So turn to your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And begin at verse 27. I think someone read this part in the earlier meeting this morning. And I just want to pick up here. John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Let's just take a moment and ask the Lord's help in this time. Father, we're so grateful that we live in a free land where we can open our Bibles without fear. And we do acknowledge that our Bible is God's Word. And the Lord Jesus told us, you will know the truth, and the truth will make us make you free. We desire that freedom, Lord. We live in a free country, but many are slaves of sin. And so help us this morning as the people of God to discover truth and enjoy a greater freedom as we enjoy it, that we might serve the Lord. We ask it for thy help in his precious name. Amen. Okay, so I want to just, as we go to each one of these verses, I want to just kind of explain what I see here, and you can follow along and see if you agree. Verse 27 here, the Lord Jesus is speaking about peace. Now, this would be a wonderful thing in any part of Scripture, but knowing that this is just hours before he would be betrayed and brutally treated and crucified, this is amazing that he not only speaks about leaving peace with them, but he says, my peace I give unto you. How could they ever know what this would mean until after he died, right? How could they ever realize when he said, the peace that I have right now, I'm giving to you. It's not like the peace that the world gives. And so here's my, and this is really a command. This is not a suggestion or an option. This is a command to his followers. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Now, the very fact that that's a command shows us it's an option. It's not going to be automatic. We have control over that. And he says, you are not to let your heart be troubled. You are not to be afraid. I'd love to speak to you on just that this morning, but I'm not going to, because it's the next verse we're getting to, verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I am going away. Now, if you read the Gospels before this, you would know that that's a true statement. The Lord had told them, I am going. In fact, just back in chapter 13, he said, I'm going and you can't come. And Peter said, I'll die before I'll leave you. I insist on going. And the Lord said, no, you can't come. So they were sad. Now, you can understand that, right? They spent 3 years in close, intimate fellowship with the greatest person who ever walked on this earth. I'd be sad too. Suddenly he says, I'm leaving you. They were sad. But I want you to notice what he tells them here, and this is what we really want to think about for a little bit. He said, I'm going away. And they were very sad about that. And he said, if you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I'm going to the Father. Let me put that in terms that maybe you could identify with this morning. If you really cared about me, if you really loved me, you would be all excited because what I'm telling you is, I'm getting to go home. I've been away from home for 3 years. And I'm getting to go home, back to my family, to my Father. And if you really love me, you would say, that is the best news. I am so excited for him. Why not? Why were they not? Well, because they were thinking, what about us? We're getting left behind. And like we said earlier today, since it's all about me, do you realize what you're doing to us? I mean, we're going to be lonely. We're going to be left. We're going to be sad. And that, since it's all about me, that makes me having a bad day. Okay? Or as the kids would say, I'm bummed out. And the Lord Jesus graciously seeks to correct that. And he said, if you love me, you would be happy and excited. You wouldn't be thinking about what this is going to do to you. You would be thinking about the person that we love so much is going home. Never mind how I feel or what happens to me. I'm just so excited and happy for him. Do you see that? I mean, I'm not asking you, would you be like that? I'm just saying, do you understand what's going on here? Okay, so that isn't one of the three verses that I was primarily intending to focus on, but that kind of warms our hearts and sets the stage so we understand what we're talking about here. There is a time in our Christian life and walk, time in our opening scripture together, when we have to be honest and say, there's some things that aren't going to make sense unless I really love the Lord. Okay? As long as it's about how I'm going to feel, it's not going to make a lot of sense. Now, I'm not saying to you this morning that you have to feel the right way, because sometimes, you know, we can't really control our feelings, right? But it does help to know that I can take a good, honest look at how much I really do love the Lord and maybe just have a little talk, but not with anybody else, just with him, and say, Lord, I don't really think I love you the way I'd like to love you, or I possibly could love you. I don't know, I'll leave that with you and the Lord, but just keep that thought in your mind. The Lord Jesus said, if you loved me, you would be happy and rejoicing right now. So we all have a whole lot of more love for ourselves, don't we? And not as much love for the one who died for us as we wish. And that would be a big help for us, just admit that, right? If you're sitting there thinking, I must be the only one that's a horrible creep like that, just look around you and realize that everybody in this room is probably saying, amen, that's true. And so we're kind of all in this together. So this isn't a criticism thing or a discouraging thing. It's a reason why we need to love one another and help one another, because we can all grow in that. That's the good news. Okay, so let's look at three verses then that will maybe help us to understand if we seek to love the Lord and we seek to help one another love the Lord, how that's going to change our life and what's that going to do. So first verse to look up then is in Matthew chapter 16. I told you these were simple verses, and I was telling the truth. You would know them. Many of you could quote them. Matthew chapter 16. And if you start at verse 13, we're not going to read it, but the Lord Jesus asked the disciples, who do the people think I am? And they give all these answers. Well, some people think you're John the Baptist, and some people think you're Elijah or one of the Old Testament prophets. And he says, who do you think that I am? And Peter gives that great statement, you are the Messiah, the Christ, God's Son. Tremendous. And the Lord puts a blessing on Peter for that statement in verse 17. But the verse I want you to look at is in verse 18. And he says, I say to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now, we're not going to expound this verse today, but I hope as a growing Christian, you're aware of the fact that there's a word change here in the original, right? Peter means Petros, stone, pebble. If you're named Peter here, no offense, but means little small stone, pebble, little rock. And upon this Petra, rock, that means big mountain, okay? Jesus is not saying he's going to build a church on Peter. That's very clear in the original. You don't build a building on a pebble. That's a very small building. You are Peter, and upon this rock. And what is the rock? Well, it is Christ, especially Peter's confession of who Christ is. That's the rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you see there that the Lord Jesus gives us in this one verse, in this one statement, his program or agenda for the coming 2,000 plus years? You could search your Bible and you will not find where the Lord gives us his agenda, his plan, his program for this present age. He never says, well, I have several things I'll be doing, and one of them is I'll be building my church. He never says there's a few options, take your pick. He says, this is what I am going to do. I am going to build my church. So here's the question then. If I love him, am I excited about what his plan is? Now, we all have our own plans, right? And I don't know what yours are. Fortunately, I can't read your mind. I can't read your thoughts. And you might be thinking about the ski trip, or the boat next summer, or the new house that you're excited about, or whatever it is. That's okay. I mean, God wants us to plan, right? Have a vision, be excited for life and growth and health in our families. That's all right. But is there any part in us as his people that says, everything I could be excited about that's in this world is temporary, it's going to burn up and be gone one day, or I'm going to leave it to somebody else? There's only one thing that really is permanent and eternal as far as buildings go, and that is what Jesus is going to build. And he said, I'm working on this in the coming age. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm about. And so, remember a few minutes ago we looked at a verse that said, if you love me, you'd rejoice. Well, what was he saying? If you love me, you'd rejoice because I told you what's going to happen in the next couple weeks or months. That's a short-term agenda, right? I'm leaving. If you love me, you'd be rejoicing. So now maybe we could say, paraphrase that, and say, I'm telling you now what I'm going to do in the next 2,000 years. If you love me, you'd rejoice. You would be excited, and you would be happy. So let's say this morning that you are sitting here thinking of your own life and your own heart, and you're purposing as much as you're able before God to say, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to love me less. I would like to love the Lord, my God, with all my soul and strength and so forth. I would like to become truly excited about what you said you're going to do, your plan. And you're engaged in a building project, and it's to build your church. Now, we understand the word church is used sometime of the universal church, the whole worldwide, all believers in the world. Sometime it's used of the local church, Paul to the saints at Corinth, local church. Paul to the saints at Bristol, the local church. So here we have a statement, the Lord is going to build his church worldwide. How excited are you about that? You know what's going on in his church in China, in India, in distant corners of the world? Missionary comes, it's like, oh, I don't want to go to that. They're going to talk about jungles and natives. What about other churches in Connecticut? What about other churches in Bristol? What about the persecuted church? Huge subject, right? Some of you know that I have the privilege of being involved in a little ministry called Elder Shop Notes. It's a little paper that is for elders and help them in their busy work. It's only 4 pages, so they can read it in 5 minutes. Not a big magazine. And I can tell you, for every one new subscription we get, now it's digital, so you just send it out over the computer, right? You just sign up and say, send it to me, it's free. For every one new one we get in the United States, I get 10 or 15 from Latin America. Cuba, Venezuela, some very difficult places. And there's people there excited about the Lord is building his church in our country. And I see these come in from all over in Europe. Very few in America. So, question. How excited could you be that the Lord Jesus is excited about his building project in this age? Now, you probably can't pick up where you're at. Maybe some of you could, or somebody could, I don't know, especially young people, and go to whatever country of the world and serve God there and help the Christians there. Maybe, but most likely you can't do that. You read any magazines about what God's doing in the rest of the world? You ever pray for persecuted Christians? Is there any really room in your heart at all for excitement that the Lord Jesus, your Lord, is excited about what he's doing in this age? So that would be one scripture as a starting point. Now turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 28, another well-known scripture, Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Okay, everything is working together. God's making it work together in your life for good. If you love God, and if you love God, here's what God calls you, the called according to his purpose. Not called like Yoo-hoo, but the called as a known and identified select chosen company. And if you're a child of God today, you are part of that. You are, in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, one of the called. You love God, and you are part of a company he calls the called. I didn't say it. I'm just reading it. That's what it says here. But you notice what the calling is to? It says, according to his purpose. Well, what's his purpose? Well, you already looked at it. He's building his church, right? That's pretty evident. He's building his church. But I can't really participate very much in the church worldwide because it's just little me, right? I live in Bristol, and I have a house and a car and limited financial means. I can't participate in worldwide things. So if he's called me according to his purpose, then his purpose has to include not only the universal church, but it includes the local church, my fellowship, where I am. And so then let me re-ask the question. Is there a place in your heart, if you love the Lord, for what he's excited about right here in this church? Now that brings it down to something that I can participate in, right? That brings it down to something that's within reach of me. I noticed this morning, and I'll just make a simple example. I noticed this morning one of the kids came flying through the chapel at, I think it was under 100 miles an hour, but not much. And he had some gooey pastry that he didn't want. And he aimed for the wastebasket, and it caromed off the wall and went in the basket. It was a good shot, except it left a nice chocolate gob right there. And before I could do anything, a brother who didn't see it happen came in the kitchen and he picked up a napkin and he wiped the chocolate off and he threw it down. He'd never said, do you all see what I'm doing here? How about a round of applause? He just saw a little need and said, this is for the Lord. And he did it. Right. That's part of serving the Lord. You can be very, very humble, quiet, behind the scenes person, and you can serve the Lord. And if you do, you could say, Lord, I'm seeking to show my love for you by being part of your purpose. You are building your church, not just worldwide, but here where I live. you know, that brings up a question. The devil sees what could happen if every child of God got excited about for what we're talking about this morning. And so he wars against that. And he has a lot of ways, and we won't go into his ways of warfare this morning. There are things like discouragement. There are things like competing options for your time and all the rest of it. They all are about me, right? It's all about me. But one of the things that he does is he tells you, and this is especially difficult for you if you come from certain religious backgrounds, he tells you, look, you are laity. Now, if you look in your Bible, you'll find there's never any place where the Bible divides Christians into clergy people and laity people. That's a man-made distinction. It's not in the Bible. But what is the goal of the devil in that? Well, you know what? You can't be doing this stuff. This is holy stuff. This is for priests and ministers and pastors and whatever. You come and sit. Maybe you could drop a coin in the box or whatever, but you just sit, be quiet, and then go home. And God will be impressed that you even just came. Right? Folks, we're not laity. We're functioning believer priests. Every man, woman, and child that loves the Lord. And so when we read that we are the called according to his purpose, how are we going to function if we don't know what his purpose is? What is his purpose? We already looked at it, right? He's building his church. And so now the question is, how am I going to fit into that he's excited about? And is there any hope for me that no matter how humble my little part is, I could become excited too? Well, that's a big question. So we need to turn to a third passage, and that is in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm especially partial to this one because it says something very direct to me in what I do in my little ministry for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, and the early part of the chapter speaks about things we all have in common as believers. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, it's one body, one Holy Spirit. So those are things we all have in common. But then by verse 7, he changes and he says, but to each of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he begins to speak about how we are different from one another. And we've talked about this here in the past, and I won't go into that again. But you know that as a Christian, God gave you a spiritual gift. You may not know what it is. You may not have even prayed and asked him. Or you may be, your gift may be sitting dormant. You know what that word dormant means? Yep, inactive, undiscovered, uncared about, but not used. And so what's going to happen? Well, go over to verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers or and teachers. These are some of the gifts, not all of them, but some of them. And I like that one there that says teachers, because that speaks to me. So my ears perk up when I read this. And verse 12 tells why he gave them. For the equipping of the saints. That's what that word perfecting, if you have a King James, mean. For the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Let's just stop right there. As a teacher, as a Bible teacher, I and any of you that are involved in this, and don't make this a big official thing, right? If you're a mom with little kids at home, you are teaching every day. You're involved in Sunday school or whatever, whatever. I, as a teacher, am responsible to help equip the Lord's people, the saints, that's you, the saints, to do the work of the ministry. Ah, now we're beginning to get put this all together, right? It's beginning to make sense, hopefully. Yes, maybe. Okay, so the Lord has a purpose, and that's to build his church worldwide. And he calls each believer individually. You are one of the called according to my purpose to fit into what I'm doing, where you live. And how's that going to really happen? Well, I'm going to go to a place, be it church or a Bible study or wherever, where I'm going to be equipped for the ministry. Folks, I want to tell you, I take this verse very seriously. I am not here to entertain you. Some of you who know me, most of you don't, but some of you who know me at all well know that I have a pretty good sense of humor. I like certain jokes, and I like to use humor when I speak. And there is a terrific temptation for me to be up here and tell you stories and say things in such a way that would make you laugh. And long ago, I had to promise the Lord that I wouldn't go down that route. I'm not an entertainer. In the flesh, I would who wouldn't like to see you all laughing and go out the door saying, that was the most fantastic message I heard this year. You go home and somebody said, what did he speak about? I don't know. Told a lot of jokes. We laughed. I'm not here for that. I am here to do what it says here in this verse, the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. So let's take that line then and expand it to fit into what we're saying today. You are being equipped as God's people to fit into his plan of what he's excited about and what he's doing. You see that? We're being equipped for ministry. What's ministry? Well, the same word in Greek is service. You are being equipped to serve. How's God want you to serve? Ask him. Keep your eyes open and look around, see where the needs are. I saw one lady, I won't embarrass her because she's out at Sunday school, but she kind of worked her way around today, giving everybody a nice warm hug and a smile. I said to her, is your gift encouragement? She said, I think so. That's a ministry that builds up the body. What's your ministry? If you know it, could you do it better? I know I could do mine better. You could probably do yours better. If you don't know it, how are you going to discover it? Maybe that's something that God might want to convict us about. How I started earlier, I'm not going to church to just impress God that I'm here because it's something he, for some reason, wants. I'm here to become excited about what he's excited about, and not just as a spectator. See, I'm not lady, a spectator. I am materially involved in the building project that he's building. Right. And I'm watching him bless my life Because he's saying to me in very quiet, subtle ways, you're living for what I saved you for. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, wouldn't that be exciting if the Lord could somehow reveal to you, you are living for what I saved you for. And someday when your work is done and you're with the Lord, as you're walking around heaven, it isn't going to be all the things that right now you're excited about in your worldly plans. It's going to be the participation that you had in what he was excited about in his plan. If that doesn't maybe make us want to shift our values a little bit, I don't know what would. But here's the thing. What that might mean is different for everybody in this room. And I don't know what's in your heart or what you're doing or not doing. I do not know. It's not really my business. I love you. I care for you. You can see why I said now, I'm not here as an entertainer. I'm here as an equipper because I want you to go home saying, wow, I need to make some changes. I need to have a talk with the Lord. There has to be some adjustments in my life. And you all be very patient with one another because that's a process, right? That's a slow thing. It's nobody's going to come here next Sunday and say, I'm a different person. Don't even greet me by the same name. I'm all new. It's a slow process where the Lord begins to get us and we begin to talk to him about how he wants us to live and what we're really being excited about. Okay, so maybe the last thing I could say about all of that is that it'd be a good thing if you could view what goes on here, the meetings here, the teaching time where your mind is being exposed to the Word of God, like this morning, the fellowship times that you have where you're building relationships, because people are here saying, I feel like I don't belong. I feel like nobody knows me. I don't have anybody to talk to. I feel alone. I don't know what my gift is. Those things are all addressed through fellowship. You can't just stay home and expect it to happen. You have to come, be with the people. Breaking of bread. See, I'm going through Acts 2:42, four things. Breaking of bread. That's a time where after being in the world for a whole week and listening to their advertisements and their sports and their news, quote, big news, I have a place to go and get my head screwed back on right. Look at the Lord Jesus and say, oh yeah, that's what it was about. Forget all about that stuff the world is excited about. They had me excited for a minute there. And then prayer is, well, this is a sweet time, but we got to go back out there for another whole week. Let's pray for one another and ask God's help. So you see how we view the assembly? We view this as the place where I'm being equipped to be participating in God's program for this age. Okay, so I told you that all came about as a kind of a introduction to our study in the book of Acts. We have a few minutes left. I'll go very quickly because this is just some thoughts that come out of Acts chapter 2 where I'm studying. there are five things. Like I said, I'll be very quick with this, but there are five things here that the Lord has written in his scripture in Acts chapter 2 for us of all time to read. So the question now is, if you're the Lord and you're going to start building your church, how are you going to begin this work on day one? What's going to happen? There's a lot of things that could have happened, right? On day one. But what's recorded here is what the Lord designed to have happen. And it's really interesting. So the first thing we read is that the Holy Spirit comes and fills the believers that are waiting for him. And these people from countries all over the world that are in Jerusalem for the feast, They hear these men now who never learned all these languages praise God in their own language. It says in verse 11, they have this list of all these countries, and they says, we hear them speak the wonderful works of God. Why did the Lord have it start that way? Why was the kickoff for his building project, the church, done like this? Well, if you look back in chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, after the Holy Spirit has come, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all over the earth. So, the opening day of the church, people from all over the earth are hearing about the Lord. And so, the first lesson we learn is that God blesses works that are according to his plan. So that's a good insight, right? If I'm going to work according to God's plan, I expect to see him blessing. Blessing is not a lot of money or big numbers necessarily, but blessing is the unmistakable hand of God in what you're doing. And if he's not blessing what you're giving your life for, it's time to stop and say, maybe I'm excited about the wrong thing. Maybe I'm on the wrong road. So, you get all these people from all these countries saying, these people never studied our languages, and yet we hear the word of God. God blesses works according to his plan. And then if you look at verse 12, they ask the question, what is going on here? And so Peter and the other apostles give an answer. If you look down to verse 32, as part of his answer, Peter said, this Jesus has God raised up, and we are his witnesses. Okay, so the second thing we need to learn then as we get involved in God's plan is that witnesses answer questions. So there's a whole other subject here, you can guess. Why aren't they asking? Well, maybe I'm not living the kind of life that makes them wonder. Maybe I'm fitting right in with them so much you're saying, different about him? I don't know. Maybe his shoes are different? I don't know. Witnesses answer questions. We're not going to look it up, but you already know it. 1 Peter 3:15. Best definition of what a witness is, be ready always to give an answer to any man who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. If you go to court, and the judge is there, and the jury, and the whatever, you cannot walk up the front and say, okay, everybody, listen up. I'm going to tell you what I think you should do with this guy. You'll be in jail quick. In a court, they bring you up and they say, well, swear to tell the whole truth, whatever, what, about what we ask you. We'll ask the question, you answer. Why? You're a witness. Same thing in the Lord. We need to live in such a way that people want to know what's going on, what's different in your life. Witnesses ask questions. And then in verse 13 we read, some of the other people mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Well, I'm not knowledgeable in alcoholic beverages, but I'm smart enough to know that you know alcohol you could drink that could help you speak in a different language, right? So that's not really a good answer, but it does point out one thing. There's always going to be people that don't believe the message, right? There will be some that believe, but there will always be those that just mock. You have to be ready for that. You live in a way that's different. Live for the Lord. Be excited about his program. There's going to be people at work, kids at school, people in your family that are, oh yeah, these one of these religious nuts or something. A little persecution. That's helpful for us to know because God has never made his revelation force you to believe. There's no other option. God always allows the option of unbelief. It's your choice to reject the light that God has given you. So as Christians then, we rejoice because why? God has never said that I'll be 100% successful. But he never said, I'll be 100% failure. Some will believe. And I leave that up to the Lord. So then we go down a little bit farther, and we find that Peter gives this great message about what is going on here. And you know what? He quotes a lot of scripture in his talk. Goes from verse 14 all the way down to verse 36. But I just want to point out two things that are interesting about it in Peter's answer when he responds. First of all, he quotes a lot of scripture, so he must know his Bible. 22 verses in his message, and 11 of them are scripture. That's half. So that gives you some incentive about if you're going to get moving in God's plan, you have to start reading his construction manual. What's he doing and how is he doing it? So Peter's message is then is very filled with scripture. Second thing is, it's all about the Lord Jesus. It's a Christ-centered message. Folks, resist the temptation to let people pull you into conversation on all these social issues. Well, what about this? And why is there war? And why do good people suffer? And what about abortion? And what about... And they'll go on forever and stay lost. I'm a good one to speak about that because I failed miserably in that for years and years and years. I would give so much time and come up with a quality answer, and they would say, oh, that's good, and walk away. Totally lost still. The answer is, that's a good question. And there's a time when we could talk about that, but right now, we need to talk about the most important thing. If you stood before God right now, he wouldn't be asking you, what about blah, 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 blah. Where would you spend eternity? So Peter's message then was scripture-based, Christ-centered, and he kept right to the point. Jesus died and rose again, and we're witnesses. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are a witness of the resurrection of Christ. Your story is unique. You are a witness that Jesus is not a man in a tomb. Jesus is a man who came back to life. Why? Because he's come into your life and is changing you day by day. Right? I hope. So you have a testimony. And then finally, last of all, verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what'll we do? Now, you could turn a few pages over to Acts chapter 7, and Stephen gave a good biblical witness, and they picked up stones and killed him. So there's no guarantee that the people who hear you are going to have this answer, what shall we do? Sometime they get very angry. And I guess that's part of where love comes in. I love the Lord enough so that I'm not going to worry about how they respond or how they would like me. I'm just going to speak the truth for him, and we'll have to see what happens. In this case, they said, what'll we do? And Peter didn't say, well, try to live a good Christian life or start going to church. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Christ, and you'll have forgiveness of sins. And the Holy Spirit will come to you too. Did that work? Well, we read in verse 41, 3,000 people were saved that day. Isn't that amazing? That was the birthday or the beginning of the church. And that's how God chose to do it. So it's interesting, it's fun, it's challenging to read about how the church got started. Now here we are 2,000 years later, and we say, what happened? Well, the devil's been working for 2,000 years too, and he's excited about his program, which means the church isn't going to happen. Jesus said the gates of hell are not going to win, but the devil says, wrong, we are. So you can see then how important it is for you to look at gathering together in the fellowship with other believers perhaps a new light. It's an equipping place, because I intend, with the help of God, to participate materially in what the Lord Jesus is excited about in this age. And that's one reason why I'm here, to meet with him, to meet with his family, to learn his truth, and to get out there and start devoting my life to that. Yeah, I'll still be at work in my job, still have to put bread on the table, still have to do my normal daily routine, and that's okay. God will bless that, because he knows that's his will in my life. I'm not going to leave or upset everybody and go nuts, but I'm going to be out there now realizing that my earthly plans are not center stage. Now I'm discovering that I'm one of the called. God has a purpose. And his purpose is not, I just want you to sit on the sidelines and cheer. His purpose is, it's going to happen through you. Get involved. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the privilege of learning together from the Word of God. And I would pray for all the dear saints here that each one would be far, far away from discouragement at what they've heard, and very near and dear to encouragement, that the one who loved them and died for them now is excited about having them be his disciples and do his bidding in their life. Grant us thy help in this, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.